Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 24, The Renunciation of Kardama Muni, Text 19. And, yeah, what to do here? It's a little difficult to say what to do. Maybe this one can come around a bit because it's just catching the computer. Okay, yeah, that's better. Wow. Except that now I'm too far forward in the picture. I just turn the whole thing. Now you should turn it further. Okay, now bring my head down. And this one, well, I guess we just say Hari Bol and just carry on. I don't know if it should be higher, but I think just leave it. Ayam Gandhadisha Shankyacharyai Sosamata Loke Kapila Iti Akyam Ganta Te Kirti Vardana. I am Siddha Ganadisha Sankhyacharyai Susamata Loke Kapila Ityakyam Gantate Kirti Vardana. I am Siddha Ganadisha Sankhyacharyai Susamata Loke Kapila Ityakyam Gantate Kirti Vardana. I am Siddha Ganadisha Sankhyacharyai Susamata Loke Kapila Ityakyam Gantate Kirti Vardana. Oh dear. Hari Bol. Matajis.
I am Siddha Ganadisha.
Mata. Loke Tatila Itiyakyam. Kanchati Kiri Vadala. Sankai Sarya Susamata. Loke Kapila Itiyakyam.
Ah, Krishna. I am this personality of Godhead, Siddhagana, of the perfected sages, Adisha, the head, Sankhya Acharya. By Acharya's expert in Sankhya philosophy. Susamata. Approved according to Vedic principles. Loke. In the world. Kapila iti. As Kapila. Akyam. Celebrated. Ganta. He will go about. Te. Your. Kirti. Fame. Vardhana. Increasing. Translation. Your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. He will be approved by the acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge. And among the people, he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Sankhya philosophy is the philosophical system enunciated by Kapila, the son of Devahuti. The other Kapila, who is not the son of Devahuti, is an imitation. This is the statement of Brahma. And because we belong to Brahma's disciplic succession, we should accept his statement that the real Kapila is the son of Devahuti, and that real Sankhya philosophy is the system of philosophy which he introduced and which will be accepted by the acharyas, the directors of spiritual discipline. The word susamata means accepted by persons who are counted upon to give their good opinion. Okay. Can just check the focus there. It's close, but just make sure. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastya Chadesha Tarne. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pramanityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sri Sri Radha Radhanath, Sri Giri Govardhan, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Vanchkalpatrulibhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha paritanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Hare Krishna and Jai. Indra Jumana Maharaj, if you are still there, I'm sure you got better things to do. Right, okay. So continuing the presentation by Lord Brahma, to Mother Devahuti, encouraging her and informing her, just clarifying that this son of yours who is going to be appearing just now is really going to be the most amazing transcendental personality. He is the same person who killed Kaitaba. That was the previous verse. And also killed Madhu, for that matter. They were a team of demons. And then, here in this verse, a number of special qualities and glorifications of him are made. Qualities are described. Kirti Vardhana. He is going to increase your fame, nourish your fame, Devahuti, because he'll be known as the son of Devahuti, quite specifically, among other things, to distinguish him from the other Kapila, who would appear after some time. Yeah. Kirti Vardhana. Of course, we know of Go Vardhana, the hill of Govardhan. Go Vardhana, perhaps more correctly. Anyway, I don't know the correct pronunciation, but Go Vardhan means increasing or nourishing the cows and the senses. Here, Lord Kapila is going to be Kirti Vardhan. He's going to be increasing or nourishing the fame of Mother Devahuti. Just like Krishna's mother is Yashoda, or if we break it up, Yashada. Yashada. Yasha meaning fame. Ebe jasha gusa tribhuvana. We were just singing just some little while before. May your fame, Yasha, may your fame be spread throughout the tribhuvana, the three worlds. So Yashoda, the name is really, I mean, the understanding of the import of the name is Yashada, she who gives fame. And there's a conversation between somebody, I forget exactly who, and Lord Krishna, that why are you so famous? You are just so famous. You're known all over. And even like now, 5,000 years later, you're extremely well known and even becoming increasingly well known. How did you get all this fame? Well, this one devotee explained to Krishna, it is because your mother is Yashoda. Yashoda. Yasha meaning fame, and da meaning who gives. This thing is blown up. What now? Why on earth? Don't ask me. Oh, I don't know what to do. Can you hear okay, Mahaprabhu Kripa? Otherwise, I'm going to have to restart. I will have to restart Zoom and what on earth to do. I don't know. oh, it didn't like that. It really didn't like that. It just really didn't like that. I don't know what to do. You're just going to have to continue with the sound from the computer. I'm sorry. It is beyond my capabilities completely. Unless, well, even that won't work. No. Beyond me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, well, I've got to continue. I have to continue. Yeah, we got to disconnect this thing. It's not. Well, we'll just hang on. Oh, maybe that worked. Oh, Krishna. Let's see. Yep, okay. We will see what we will see. So, excuse me, devotees. Yeah, so Yashoda. Krishna became so famous because his mother blessed him. Yeah. And there are various other little subtle understandings here and there. His words are so famous because his mother blessed them. So anyway, yeah, so an interesting point here. Well, of course, it's a fact that Lord Kapila is specifically referred to here as Sankhya Acharyai, as, well, that he is appreciated by experts in real knowledge, but he is also the Sankhya Acharya. He's also the greatest authority in Sankhya in the approach of analyzing in order to understand the absolute truth. Whereas the other Kapila, anyway, as Prabhupada says here, and in many places Srila Prabhupada makes the point that there's another Kapila who, as we've heard, was the person who started Jainism, and adopted also the name Kapila, although it wasn't his name, but he adopted the name, and sort of promulgated an impersonal form of Sankhya philosophy. So anyway, here the glorification is being made. Your son, will be the head of all the perfected souls. Siddha Gana. How did he say it? Siddha Gana Adisha. The head of all the perfected souls. And then, of course, the expert in the Sankhya philosophy and approved by the acharyas in that, and known as Kapila, and he will increase the fame of his mother, Devahuti, by being known as her son. So Srila Prabhupada says here, this is a statement of Brahma. And because we belong to Brahma's disciplic succession, we should accept his statement that the real Kapila is the son of Devahuti and not the other one. And the real Sankhya philosophy is the Sankhya philosophy of Kapila, the son of Devahuti, and not the philosophy of the other one. Very important. So this is a statement of Brahma, and we should accept it because we're in that tradition. It may sound like this is just a formality, that because we're in this group, therefore we must accept that, whatever someone says, and because someone is in another group, they just must accept what someone else says, and that's it. But it's not quite so simple. It's not quite so simple. Of course, there is a sense of some call it chastity to Lord Brahma, or particularly in our cases to Srila Prabhupada. But there's also more to it than it just being sort of like a formality that just because we're in this particular group, therefore we must accept the version of the first person who appeared in the group. Yes, because we know that, well, there are the four Vaishnav Sampradayas. There are the four Vaishnav Sampradayas, and each one has a head, and like a first one, like Lord Brahma, or Lord Shiva, or Lakshmi, or the four Kumars. These are the heads, the original heads of the four Sampradayas. I mean, of course, the Supreme Personality of Godheads ultimately are the original head, but otherwise, in terms of the propagation, the establishment of that philosophy in this world, the different persons we mentioned, they are the ones like the primary acharyas, primary representatives of the Lord. And then after that, there are more recent acharyas who have promoted the particular philosophies of those particular, the primary acharyas. In our case, of course, it's Lord Chaitanya, where the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. In the case of some others, like the Kumar Sampradaya, then it's Nimbaka. In the case of the Sri Sampradaya of Lakshmi, it's Ramanuja, and then there's Vishnu Swami, in the other Sampradaya, and the Rudra Sampradaya. Yes, so the philosophies in each Sampradaya, the philosophy, at least there are great similarities, but then there are also some differences. And Srila Prabhupada, there was an exchange between Srila Prabhupada and Sumati Muraji. Perhaps you've heard of her. She was the owner of the steamship company that Srila Prabhupada came to America with on one of their ships. And she was more on the Vishnu Swami side, as I recall. And their even more recent acharya is Vallabhacharya. So Prabhupada, there was a bit of a dispute between some of them and some of us. It's a long story. But Prabhupada wrote to her saying that, well, it's all right. You know, your line is there, our line is there. Let's not get into some fight. And you accept what is said in your line. We accept what is said in our line. So that point is there, that the different sampradayas may accommodate each other, even though they're slightly different understandings in certain respects. However, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point. What's it in Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, I think? Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point that in due course, the other sampradayas will accept the sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya. and will eventually enter into and sort of, you could say, merge with, they'll become members of the Sampradaya coming, our Sampradaya from Lord Brahma through Madhvacharya, through Lord Chaitanya. Because, after all, this is the Sampradaya of Lord Chaitanya, who's the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead for this age. And therefore, the correct thing to do ultimately, even though there's room for accommodating the other Sampradayas and accepting that, all right, you know, your philosophy is basically acceptable, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead has come in this Sampradaya, and in due course, his philosophy will be accepted, and the often subtle differences between the other Sampradayas and our Sampradaya, they'll sort of become, what would you say, they'll just be sort of quietly dropped as those devotees enter into our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. Yes. But otherwise, there's this practice that one, unless there's an extremely good reason not to, as, you know, this phenomenon that we just mentioned of the merging of the Sampradayas and the acceptance of Lord Chaitanya by everyone. Unless there's an extremely good reason to break with the teachings of the Sampradaya Acharya, then they are advised you carry on like that. Even Lord Chaitanya, he lived with the devotees, what's his name, in Sri Rangam, the uncle of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and brother of Prabodhananda Saraswati, what's his name? Venkata Bhatta. Lord Chaitanya lived with him and was basically going along with what Venkata Bhatta said, but then after a little while, Lord Chaitanya preached to him about the unique position of Krishna. Venkata Bhatta accepted it. And as we understand, his family, the other family members, accepted it. But later they returned to being Sri Vaishnavas, and they are Sri Vaishnavas to this day, although they know basically what happened with Lord Chaitanya. Similarly with Vallabha Bhatta, he became a follower of Lord Chaitanya, but later he or his followers and family members, they turned back to being followers of Vishnu Swami and like that. So there is a principle there of being chaste to the original Acharya. And in our cases, of course, this is absolutely correct because Lord Chaitanya has appeared within our line. And this is the line of Lord Brahma, so we must accept the version of Lord Brahma. In this case, we must accept the version of Lord Brahma in regard to Lord Kapila. As it happens, it is absolutely correct. Although other elements of the philosophy, at least particularly of Madhvacharya as a follower of Lord Brahma, and to some degree Lord Brahma himself, adjustments were made when Lord Chaitanya appeared. Adjustments were made. And so many of the followers sort of adjusted their philosophies a bit to become followers of Lord Chaitanya, although some didn't. Therefore, now in India, you still find there are temples and groupings of the Brahma Sampradaya, meaning from Krishna through Lord Brahma, but not through Madhvacharya. They don't really accept or involve themselves with Madhvacharya and his slightly different ideas in some respects. And similarly, there are still followers, there's plenty of followers of Madhvacharya who didn't switch over when Lord Chaitanya appeared. But they remained as strict followers of Madhvacharya, like that. So in our cases, though, we understand the position, and therefore, unless there's some particularly good reason not to, if Lord Brahma makes a point, we accept that point, because we know it's authorized. And even, of course, there's the interesting exchange between Lord Brahma and Narada Muni at the end of the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which we mentioned actually just a little recently, a few weeks ago, that Narada Muni at some point there in the second canto, he was with Lord Brahma and he heard how Lord Brahma had been instructed and had accepted the teachings given by Lord Krishna. And Narada Muni expressed a little surprise, though, I thought you were the supreme authority. And Lord Brahma explained, no, Krishna is. And because I've accepted his authority, so, well, basically, now I am just the totally authorized person. And Lord Brahma makes a very interesting and important point that because I'm now strictly following Lord Krishna and I'm simply repeating his teachings and I'm not talking about anything else, then whatever I say is true. And he says that whatever I say, Lord Krishna makes it to be true. Hare Krishna. Very interesting. He protects my words. He always protects my words. Because as Acharya preaching, teaching so many different people who are on different levels, sometimes according to time, place, and circumstance, certain adjustments in detail but not in principle have to be made. So like that, Lord Brahma is saying that sometimes when I preach, I have to make some adjustment in terms of time, place, and circumstance, only in detail, not in principle, based on the teachings of the Lord, and then the Lord protects what I say. Yes. Even in Bhagavad Gita, it's a little like that, that Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, you declare it boldly, that my devotee never perishes. Because the devotee who is so strictly following, always maintaining the standards, will always be respected by others. Whereas Krishna himself, anyway, it's a subtle point, but some people may say that Krishna broke promises sometimes and did things which weren't first class, and therefore they may be doubtful about accepting what Krishna says, but they'll accept what the devotee says. Yes, and the devotee's words are protected by Krishna. Yes, so here, Lord Brahma is glorifying Kapila. Lord Kapila is such an extraordinary person. The Acharya of the Sankhya philosophy. And Kirti Vardhana. He is increasing, going to increase the fame of Devahuti. Yeah. I remember we visited, let me just close by saying, we visited the temple in the village, the name of which I forget, oh gosh, the birthplace of Mother Yashoda. We went there years ago when we did our Nandagram video, so it's more than 10 years ago. We went there, and there's a nice village and nice temple, a little substantial temple, and there's a deity of Mother Yashoda in her own little sort of temple there at her birthplace. And the devotee there, the main devotee there, his name was Mohan. He was so nice, elderly man who knew Dinabandhu Prabhu very well. And he was just so nice and respectful to Dinabandhu and to us. And what he did, we noticed he went and milked a cow, the ashram cow. And then he went off and did something, and he came back and he offered us tea made with milk from the cow, milk which he had just milked from the cow. And very devotionally he offered us this milk tea, and we had to tell him, sorry, you know, we don't drink tea. Oh gosh. Anyway, so yeah, sometimes it's like that. So he went and milked the cow again. Hare Krishna. He went and milked the cow again and gave us just milk from the cow. And he was so nice about it. And we all chanted japa together. Yes. So, So all these different connections are there. It's very interesting. There's a big network. There's a big network in the world of Vaishnavism. And by Prabhupada's grace, we have access, and we can also enter into that network and gradually learn the connections and how to deal with the connections, because sometimes the connections have got a little, you know, somehow or other gone slightly off track. But Lord Kapila, his appearance, as Lord Brahma is saying here, he is just going to be the most amazing and wonderful transcendental person, and benefit the whole world and benefit you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comments or questions? Maharaj. Jai Sachinandan Prabhu. Prabhupada talks about the other Kapila. Was he at the same time? You know, my understanding for what it is worth, just what I've heard is that he was much more recent, because our Lord Kapila, he's right back in like the first generation or second, or you know, something like that, of living entities in the universe. He's way, way back. Yeah. So actually the sort of chronology, do you know the chronology, Maharaj? When did Jainism begin? Or when did that other Kapila appear?
Then later.
Huh?
This Kapila is after the time.
Yes, yes, yes. It's long ago. Much, I think, much later. Yeah, yeah. In recent times, you know, by cosmic standards. Anything else? Bopadeva. Oh, there's another. There is a Bopadeva. You know, you'd be surprised. Prabhupada has protected us from a lot of unnecessary controversy. I tell you what, it's amazing. So yeah, there's a Bopadeva who some accept as being Vyasadeva, right? But he's not. And would you believe, you know, perhaps have you ever read Tattva Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami? Haven't got to that. It may be good, because, you know, in Tattva Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami spends a while explaining how the real Srimad Bhagavatam is our Srimad Bhagavatam and not the book called the Devi Bhagavat. Yeah, because there's this book called the Devi Bhagavat, which is, you know, maybe it's an Upa Purana or Upa Upa Purana. There are different levels of Puranic type literatures. But there are people who say that the Devi Bhagavat is the real Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, and maybe we were fortunate enough not to know that. Anyway, when we did a seminar on Tattva Sandarbha, we found out there's a controversy. Which is the real Bhagavatam? And so Srila Jiva Goswami spends a little time giving evidences why our Srimad Bhagavatam is the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Devi Bhagavatam is not. So yeah, Bopadeva, I mean, there's all sorts of interesting personalities who've cropped up in the history, like sort of Vedic or even Vaishnav history. You know, like, for example, have you heard of Hitharivamsa? Hitharivamsa. He was a disciple of, I think, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Jiva Goswami. Yeah. But he adopted, so he was a Gaudiya Vaishnav. And extremely, you know, fired up. But somehow or other, he got, the idea that we should focus more on Srimati Radharani. So, you know, it would appear that the person behind, you know, this whole big Radhe Radhe phenomenon in Vrindavan, it may be Hitharivamsa. And he went to the point, he stopped following Ekadasi. He wouldn't chant Hare Krishna. He would only chant the name of Radharani. Yeah. And not follow Ekadasi because, you know, Ekadasi is connected with Vishnu, actually, Lord Vishnu. And he became like a Radhe Radhe fanatic. And he got, what would you say, excommunicated from the Gaudiya Vaishnav line. He's, you know, we won't say he had the honor, but he was the first person to be excommunicated, rejected from the line. by Gopal Bhatta Goswami, as I recall, and maybe Jiva Goswami was involved also. But it didn't stop him. He carried on, and he established the Radha Vallabha temple in Vrindavan, which is very popular temple, and the deity is very beautiful, and the people there, they're extremely nice to us. They're just, as far as we can see, at least on the surface, they're really nice Vaishnavas. So, but, there's this whole history behind them. Oh, gosh. So by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm just looking here. Prabhupada's talking about Bhopadev. Yeah. So the speaker of Bhagavatam, he says, I learned it from my father. His father is Vyasadeva. And these rascals say Bhopadev. Just see. And they're posted in Big Post with such nonsense knowledge. He does not know who is the author of Bhagavat. Hare Krishna. Yeah, Prabhupada saved us from a lot of that. There's so much controversy there. And if you don't watch out, you get caught up in it. Bhopadev. Or Baladeva Vijayabhushan. Yeah. Well, it's a big subject. Is that okay? Yes. Okay. Okay, so the question is, what's the difference between this Sankhya philosophy, right? Yeah, of Lord Kapila, and Bhakti. Well, you know what Lord Krishna says in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita? You know, Lord Krishna goes out of his way to make the point that in a certain sense, there's no difference. And the sense is that if someone is giving you knowledge, let's say knowledge, how to find the root of a tree, and another person is then giving you knowledge how to water the root of the tree when you've found it, then, you know, it's okay. You don't need to make some big, big distinction between them. I mean, have a look there. We just gave class on one of those verses a few days ago. Bhagavad Gita chapter 5, verse 5, and around there, those verses. So, theistic Sankhya, as taught by Lord Kapila, in a sense, it leads us to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, of course, Lord Kapila goes beyond just leading us. He then goes right into bhakti itself. He talks about meditating on the Lord, the form of the Lord. Yeah. So the idea is that Sankhya, real theistic Sankhya, will bring you to bhakti in a very natural way. That gradually, you know, it's a process of analysis of reality, the different material elements, the modes, everything that makes up the material world. But then, on the basis of evidence, why we accept there is God behind it. So the acceptance of the Supreme Lord is a natural part of Sankhya philosophy. Yeah. Acceptance of his existence. And then, as Kapila has taught, actually starting the process of bhakti on the basis of those understandings, like step by step through knowledge, and then finally step on the basis of that knowledge into bhakti. We also do some analysis, obviously. We definitely do some in the same terms as Lord Kapila presented, but not like it's our whole, the earlier stages of the whole process. It's just that. His Sankhya means that at least in the earlier stages, until you reach the point of understanding God, then you just do analysis only. Yeah, but we do some analysis. You know, you're not your body. Why we accept we're not this body. But it's all immediately in the context of bhakti, whereas Sankhya is more emphasized by Kapila, although bhakti is there, but finally he really focuses on bhakti. Does that make sense? Are you okay? All right. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.